Translation: having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of 5 material elements, and thus all acquired fruitive results of work, karma, stopped. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Informed by the personality of Godhead that he would be awarded a transcendental body befitting the Lord's association, Narada got his spiritual body as soon as he quit his material body. This transcendental body is free from material affinity and invested with 3 primary transcendental qualities, namely eternity, freedom from material modes, and freedom from reactions of fruitive activities. The material body is always afflicted with a lack of these 3 qualities. A devotee's body becomes at once surcharged with the transcendental qualities as soon as he is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. It acts like the magnetic influence of a touchstone upon iron. The influence of transcendental devotional service is like that. Therefore, change of the body means stoppage of the reaction of 3 qualitative modes of material nature upon the pure devotee. There are many instances of this in the revealed scriptures. Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj and many other devotees were able to see the personality of Godhead face to face, apparently in the same body. This means that the quality of a devotee's body changes from material to transcendence. That is the opinion of the authorized Goswamis via the authentic scriptures. In the Brahma Samhita it is said that beginning from the Indra Gopa germ up to the great Indra, king of heaven, all living beings are subjected to the law of karma and are bound to suffer and enjoy the fruitive results of their own work. Only the devotee is exempt from such reactions by the causeless mercy of the supreme authority, the personality of Godhead. Translation again: having been awarded a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead, I quit the body made of 5 material elements, and thus all acquired fruitive results of work or karma stopped. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasme Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantika Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a description of Narada Muni quitting his body. It was said in the previous verse that it was just like lightning and illumination, that as soon as he quit his material body, then immediately he got a spiritual body. So he was, as Prabhupada says, he was informed by the personality of Godhead that he would be awarded a transcendental body befitting the Lord's association. So this was in verse 23, when Krishna was speaking to Narada Muni. He said that by service of the Absolute Truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material worlds. So here Krishna says, even for a few days service, He becomes fixed and firm in his intelligence and goes on to go back to Godhead. I mean, to understand that verse, I think even it's not that after a few days of devotional service, a devotee goes back to Godhead. Normally, it takes longer than that. But it's that the devotee becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness, and then it's just a matter of time. As long as he continues his devotional service, eventually he will go back. Then Prabhupada says that this transcendental body is free from material affinity, is invested with three transcendental qualities: eternity, freedom from material modes, and freedom from karma. So this is the difference between the material body and the spiritual body. That the material body is temporary, that it's influenced by the modes of material nature, and it's bound up with karma. So, and whereas the spiritual body is free from all of these traps, all of these entanglements. And then Prabhupada describes that the devotee's body becomes surcharged with transcendental qualities as soon as he is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So it's not that we have to wait until we leave the body to get a spiritual body. In one sense, we are already in a spiritual body if we are fully engaged. And that's described in the verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And I just wanted to read something about that, where that verse is quoted in the Bhagavad Gita. Anyone remember that verse offhand? The verse that says that that a devotee is actually like liberated. Yes, that's the one. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's it. You got it. So there's quite an interesting verse in the Gita that relates to this and that quotes this verse that explains it more. So I just want to read that quickly. It's Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, verse 11, that says, "The yogis, abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification." Prabhupada says in the purport that when one acts in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the senses of Krishna, any action, whether of the body, mind, intelligence, or even the senses, is purified of material contamination. There are no material reactions resulting from the activities of a Krishna conscious person. Therefore, purified activities, which are generally called sad achara, can be easily performed by acting in Krishna consciousness. And then he quotes the verse, Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 112.187 describes this as follows: "Iha yasya hare dasye kamana manasagira nikilashva pai apyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchite." And the English translation of that is, a person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, intelligence, and words, is a liberated person, even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. He has no false ego. These are different qualities that Prabhupada goes on to describe in this Gita purport of a Jivan Mukta, someone who is liberated while he is still in this body. He has no false ego, for he does not believe that he is the material body or that he possesses the body. He knows that he is not this body and that this body does not belong to him. He himself belongs to Krishna, and the body too belongs to Krishna. When he applies everything produced of the body, mind, intelligence, words, life, wealth, etc., whatever he may have within his possession, to Krishna's service, he is at once dovetailed with Krishna. He is one with Krishna and is devoid of the false ego that leads one to believe that he is the body, etc. This is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. So to try to understand how it's possible for a devotee to be liberated, to be in a spiritual body, but in the same time in the material body. That's why I'm reading this also. And it's very interesting. Because actually the real body is the spiritual body. The material body is a covering. So to try to understand how this body can become spiritualized, it means that all the things that trap us in the material body, like namely the false ego, which makes us identify the body with the material body, when all these things are lifted by the power of devotional service, the devotee is actually, although apparently moving around in a material body, he is actually on the transcendental platform. And you could see that with Srila Prabhupada, for example, that his body appeared very spiritual. He appeared to be floating. When he walked around, he appeared to be floating, not quite on the same material level as the rest of us. So the body, when the body is spiritualized, it becomes very subtle, ethereal, because that's the actual reality, that our real body is something spiritual. So when all this material coverings are lifted, although we are apparently in the material body, the body becomes spiritualized. So does that mean, then the question is, does that mean that when we're doing service, our bodies are spiritualized? Well, as it's described here, that we have to be in Krishna consciousness, not just performing devotional service physically with the body, but with the body, the mind, the intelligence, and the words. So when all of these are actually focused in Krishna consciousness, that's when we can attain that platform of Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta Sa Uchite is known as a liberated soul. So although we're not liberated souls, as long as we're, you know, on the platform of Sadhana Bhakti, we're still practicing. We're not yet liberated souls, but sometimes we may get a taste of that. That if when we're completely focused, like for example, when devotees go out on a Harinam or book distribution, and when they get completely absorbed in that activity, then they feel ecstasy, and they forget about the body, they forget about the time, they forget everything, and they become fully absorbed. So at that moment, then they're acting on the transcendental platform. And but then one begins to feel tired or hungry or thirsty, and then we come back to the material platform because we have to look after the material body. So basically that's how it works. like Prabhupada said, it's like the devotional service is like touchstone on iron. It's just as a touchstone transforms iron into gold, so pure devotional service transforms the material body into a transcendental entity. And then Prabhupada quotes some examples also showing how the body can become spiritualized, and he gives examples of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, that they were able to see Krishna while they were still in the material body. So, but because Krishna is completely spiritual, his body is completely spiritual, then how is it possible to see Krishna face to face in the material body? That can't be possible. So therefore, that means that when a pure devotee has a darshan of Krishna like that face to face, he's not actually in a material body. His body is at that point completely transcendental. And even Narada Muni himself, who this verse is about, he also had a darshan of Krishna. So his body was also transcendental at that time. So here we're talking about Narada Muni quitting the body. But we can just recap a little bit the story to see how we got to this point. Briefly, I'm sure it's been talked about a lot in previous classes of this chapter. But it's nice to recap a little bit because there's a few things that actually shed more light on this verse. Because Narada Muni, he started life as the son of a maidservant, which is very amazing how someone who was born in such a lowly situation, of a single mother, a poor lady who was just living in a poor little hut, and how he got to this point of being Narada Muni, the transcendental, so-called transcendental spaceman. Actually, in the previous life, he was a Gandhava who was cursed by Lord Indra because he became proud and he was singing. They were having a kind of a bhajan. They were having a kirtan in the heavenly planets and glorifying the Supreme Lord. And this Gandharva, he made an offense because he started singing a song glorifying the demigods. So you can imagine if the devotees are having a kirtan and then someone starts singing a song glorifying the demigods, they would be shown the door. So this is what happened to Narada Muni, that he was cursed by Lord Indra to be born as a son of a maidservant. But Krishna didn't forget about him. Somehow or other, he was very fortunate. He got the association of some pure devotees who came, some sadhus. They were actually Vaishnav sadhus. They were great devotees. And during the rainy season, they stayed in his house where he lived together with his mother, and he got to serve them. And he got their association, he got to hear from them, and he also took the remnants of their prasadam. So he actually acquired his transcendental knowledge from these sadhus, these Vaishnavas. And that's how he understood that the goal of life is to serve Krishna. And then sometime later, after they left, his mother died from a snake bite, and he was left all alone in the world. So it's really amazing that, like it said, that when Krishna actually really cares about someone, there is a verse which I don't remember off by hand, but there is a verse that says that when Krishna really cares a lot about someone, that he actually takes everything away from them. And that's what he did to Narada Muni. He took everything away from him. He was just a small child, and he was all alone in this world. But he had Krishna consciousness. He had that transcendental knowledge. So he just started wandering around like a little boy sannyasi wandering around. And that was his whole life, actually was spent like that, just wandering around. And he went into a forest and he sat down and he was meditating on Krishna and praying. And Krishna actually appeared to him. In his heart, he had a darshan of the Lord. And he became very, very ecstatic, of course. And then Krishna disappeared. And so he was bereft, because then again he was all alone in this world, this little boy, and then he was really, really devastated when Krishna disappeared. But then Krishna spoke to him and he said that you won't see me again in this life. But he said you will see me in the next life, so just continue your devotional service. And in the next life you will see me again. So he was just a little boy, but he dedicated his whole life to devotional service and to preaching. He was just going around and telling people about Krishna. So this, because he spent his whole life like that, he became so elevated that when it was time for him to quit the body, which we described here in this verse, he immediately got a spiritual body. But Narada Muni, he had a special destiny, because he was a preacher. So he didn't really, he got a taste for preaching, actually. He is actually the acharya of all the preachers, of all the devotee preachers, because he didn't go back to Godhead. He actually, he was awarded the spiritual body and to move around. He could go to the spiritual world and he could go to the material. He can go anywhere he wants. And he just spends his time playing the veena that was given to him by Krishna, chanting the glories of the Lord and spreading transcendental knowledge because of his compassion on the fallen souls. He's always traveling around, preaching, singing, and helping people to come back to Krishna, helping people to become liberated. So this is the special position of Narada Muni. He's known as a Shaktivesh avatar because he's empowered to preach, and he's the only person who can do this, who can actually travel around spiritual world, material world, apart from Krishna himself, of course. There are very few personalities who can do this. And he's in our sampradaya, he figures high up in our sampradaya as the spiritual master of Vyasadeva, who composed all the Vedic scriptures. And he's also the spiritual master of various great personalities like Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj and Valmiki and all the sons of Prajapati. So he has many, very elevated disciples. He's very famous. Unfortunately, there are Hindi movies that show him as a kind of a caricature, like in a comical way, where he's going around saying, Narayan, Narayan. But that's not the Narada Muni. That's not the real Narada Muni as we know him. He is actually, he appears in many pastimes of Krishna, and he appears in many pastimes of the Bhagavatam. Like, for example, in the pastime of Krishna's appearance in this world, he actually appeared to Kamsa, and to speed up the appearance of Krishna, he speeded up the killing of the other children of Devaki. Now that may seem a bit odd that Narada Muni would be telling Kamsa to kill all the children of Devaki. As a great devotee, he's not a violent person, so why would he do that? But actually, these children, they were all destined to die, and they all became liberated. And Kalanemi was the previous incarnation of Kamsa. I'm talking about the sons of Devaki. They were the sons of Marut, is it? Marut? They were the sons of Kalanemi. Now, I think Kalanemi was the previous incarnation of Kamsa, but the sons of Devaki, they were the sons of... Right. Anyway, they were. We'll have to look that up just to confirm. So they were the sons of Brahma, you said. But I remember it's described in the 10th canto that they were the sons of, I think it was Marut or something like that. Anyway, we'll have to check that afterwards. And then, okay. I guess there was a few different births. They represented lust, anger, greed. Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah. Purified, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's right, yeah. So anyway, they were destined to die and to be liberated. So Narada Muni, he knew that. So that's why he spoke to Kamsa to expedite that. But the main reason was to expedite the appearance of Krishna so that Krishna could kill Kamsa, actually, and kill all the demons and protect the devotees. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right, right. Yes, yes. That's a very similar pastime. Yeah. Right, right. Yes. Okay, so coming back to Narada Muni, he's the Acharya of all the preachers, and so we can, I think that by remembering him and his pastimes and his position, we can get inspiration to preach. And because this verse is actually about him leaving his body and for us, we may, you know, the subject of death, it's a difficult subject for people in general, especially for people in general who have no knowledge or no faith, and so they don't know what is awaiting them. For devotees, we have a goal that we're working towards, to try to see Krishna again after death. But we don't know how long that's going to take. And there's also sometimes a dilemma that in one sense we would like to go back to Godhead, and on the other hand we may feel that we would like to come back because there's a lot of work to do here, because there's so many conditioned souls that are lost in this world, so many lost souls who are looking for Krishna, and there's so few of us really, and how can we just leave this world without finishing the job? Because this, of course, there are more devotees coming after us, but we may feel that we haven't done enough and we want to do more. Usually devotees feel like that. We have a huge debt to pay to our spiritual master, and that we want to please him. So we want to preach and spread knowledge of Krishna consciousness. So this is the dilemma. Do we want to desire to go back to Krishna, or do we want to come back here? But anyway, Krishna is in our hearts and he knows our desires. So even if we have different desires, Krishna will find a way to fulfill both of them. Narada Muni is unique because he gets to visit the spiritual world and then come to the material world and preach and go anywhere and everywhere. So we can't really become Narada Muni, but somehow or other Krishna will send us wherever we're meant to go. So if we're meant to stay here because we're not ready to go back, then we can carry on preaching. Or even for someone who's ready to go back, they may still get an opportunity to preach somehow or other by Krishna's divine arrangement. Who knows? So anyway, I'll stop there so that we can have, if anyone wants to ask questions or discuss any of these things further, we could do that. Hare Krishna.